In this past week's parasha, we read about an implicit dispute between Rivka and Yitzchak as to who should receive the blessings. As has been pointed out by many, the debate was not over what is called Birkas Avraham, the spiritual legacy of Klal Yisrael. Yitzchak understood quite well who his successor was, Yaakov Avinu. The dispute was over the material blessings, and not even over Eretz Yisrael itself. That, of course, is the essence of Birkas Avraham. While Rivka won, although we might term it in some ways a Pyrrhic victory for her, it cost her in different ways her relationship with both of her children, it is worth exploring what Yitzchak Avinu's concerns were. After all, im ein kemach, ein Torah, why did he wish to designate the material blessings for Esav and not for Yaakov? In the Gemara Sanhedrin, at the end of the second perek, Rabbah learns the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah from the pasuk in Parshas Vayelech. V'yata kisvu lachem es hashira hazos. It seems al pipshat that al hashira hazos, es hashira hazos refers to Shira Sazinu. So how is this connected to the writing of the entire Sefer Torah? The Malbim, based upon a Gemara Nedarim, suggests that all the entire Torah is called a Shira. The Torah Tamima writes that writing the Shira was finishing the Torah because that was all that was left. So completing the Shira completed the Sefer Torah so that it could be given over to the Kohanim and Levim. The Rambam, in a somewhat famous passage in Hilchos Tefillin Mezuzah and Sefer Torah, writes that Mitzvah Saseh kol ish v'ishmi Yisrael lichtov Sefer Torah la'atzmo shenemar v'yato kisvu lachem as hashira. Kilomar kisvu lachem Torah sheyesh ba Shira zo lefish ein kosven as haTorah parshios parshios. The Shira only refers to Shira Sazinu, but you're not allowed to write only part of a Sefer Torah. So once you're writing the Shira, you have to write the entire Torah. Pshuto Shel Mikra, of course, is that is a reference to the Shira of Hazinu alone. But I believe that Chazal are teaching us, and perhaps hinted to in the Rambam's approach, is something much more fundamental. And that is that the essence of Torah is contained within Shiras Hazinu. The Shira of Hazinu is the story of sin, punishment, and revenge. But strikingly, there is no clear redemption, and perhaps none at all in the Shira. God sees Klal Yisrael's pathetic existence and decides to avenge their suffering, but if you read the text, they are not explicitly redeemed. What is the sin in Shiras Hazinu? In one term, Avodah Zarah. The idea of the Ribono Shel Olam as our omnipotent creator permeates the entire Shira. But how do we respond? Yakni'u bizarim b'soevos yachisuhu yizbichu la'sheidim lo lo'a Elohim lo yida'um chadashim yikaro ba'u lo sarum avosechem. We respond with Avodah Zarah. The Sifrei in Parsha Shlach notes that Avodah Zarah shkula keneged kol haTorah kula, that Avodah Zarah is equivalent to the rest of the Torah, and thus Shiras Hazinu and the Avodah Zarah within are really kol haTorah kula. But what is the nature and the root of this Avodah Zarah? In Parshas Bechukosai, in contrast, we read the Tochacha, in which Avodah Zarah plays a major role. There, however, the end of the story is different. There, v'hisvadu es avonam v'es avon avosam, followed by v'zacharti lahem bris rishonim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembers the covenant of the avos, and he redeems us. We experience suffering, but then HaKadosh Baruch Hu redeems Klal Yisrael. So what then makes Parshas Hazinu and its Avodah Zarah different so that there is no redemption? I would suggest that there are two fundamentally different kinds of Avodah Zarah. When one looks at the pagan practices of the ancient world, one notices that most of the gods are actually the embodiment of the forces of nature. For example, Baal, probably the primary Canaanite deity, was the god of fertility, bringer of the rain, the one who granted children. In a capricious world where humankind felt at the absolute mercy of the natural forces, it was only natural to turn to these gods as a way of self-protection. Pagans were seeking God, but they were looking in the wrong place. That is the Avodah Zarah of Bechukosai. But because the people were seeking, the Ribono Shel Olam, were seeking God, once they realized their error and confessed their sins, they were ready for redemption. If you want to see this in the contemporary scene, one only need to look at our community and at the resurrection of an unhealthy interest in segulos of all sorts of kinds. While spiritually shallow and halachically problematic in many cases as well, it is understandable. Science and medicine have not managed to fulfill all of their promise. There are many diseases and problems which medicine cannot treat, or not very well at least, and people are looking for security. In a disruptive economy, people feel at unease, and aside from keeping Torah and mitzvos, which are the real segula, they turn to quasi-pagan practices. Lamentable, but understandable. They are appealing to God, even if it is in all the wrong places. Ha'azinu's avodah zarah, however, lies in a very different place. Vayishman yishurun vayivat shamanta avisa kasisa. Klal Yisrael waxed fat and kicked. Here, the people are not lacking. They are not afraid. They are not materially insecure. What then is their avodah zarah? So when we look at the parallel warning of Moshe Rabbeinu in Parshas Ekev, we read, Pen tochal v'savata v'atim tovim tibnevi yashavta, v'tzoncha v'karacha yirbiyun, v'chesef v'zahav yirbelach. You have everything in the world. And then, v'ram levavecha, you become arrogant, v'shachachtas Hashem Elokecha. You forget about God. Or in Parshas Hazinu, Tzur Yilad Dechateshi. These are the people who have everything. V'yamarta b'lvavecha, kochi v'otzem yadi asal li'esachayel azeh. It's all my doing. It's all my credit to me because it's all my power. These are the people who have all the material success. They live in mansions or McMansions. They drive the fanciest cars. They have the most complex stock portfolios, and it has gone to their heads. They think that it is their own doing, but they forget the true source of wealth. They forget that many have worked as hard, but without the same success, and they attribute the success to themselves. This is not an avodah zarah so much about other gods, but an avodah zarah of pushing God out of the picture due to sheer arrogance. It represents a fundamental failure to recognize where everything comes from. It is the assumption that everything we have accomplished is due to ourselves. Kochi ve'otzem yadi, asa li'esachaya lazeh. And hence, vayishman yishurun vayivat shamanta avisa kasisa. When one has pushed the Ribbono Shel Olam out of the picture, when one's blind arrogance has led him or her to attribute accomplishments to him or herself, teshuva is often beyond reach. It no longer suffices to catalog a myriad of sins, v'hisvadu es avonam v'esavon avosam, or in our language, ashamnu, bagadnu, gazalnu, but rather a fundamental attitude shift is in order. And it is a tall order at that. And hence, in Parshas Hazinu, no clear redemption is forthcoming. This notion of pushing out the Ribbono Shel Olam due to attributing one's success to oneself is the foundation of another important story we read about a few weeks ago, and one which occupies an important place in Choshen Mishpat. It is something known as Midas Sodom. The Torah in Parshas Lech Lecha tells us, V'anshei Sodom ra'im v'chato'im la'shem od. They were mighty in their sin. What exactly was their chait? So in American Christian culture, Sodom has given its name to the act of homosexuality, as it is perceived that that was the primary sin in Sodom. But this is unfortunately wrong. Leaving aside that this approach is a misreading of the story, it contradicts the correct interpretation as given to us by a Navi, Yechezkel HaNavi. We read in Yechezkel Tezayin, Hinei zeh ha'yavon Sodom achosech, Ga'on sivas lechem b'shalvas hashkeit, ha'yalav v'livno seha, v'yad onivi evyon lo hechazika. They were wealthy, they were arrogant in their wealth, and they ignored the poor. Chazal pick up where the Navi left off and elaborate. The Gemara in Chelek states, Tanu Rabbanon, Anshei Sodom lo niska'u el b'shvil tova sheshpil am HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They became arrogant because of the bounty which HaKadosh Baruch Hu had granted them. Omru, they said, v'chimei achar she'eretz mimenu yatza lechem v'afrosa havlo. The land produces bread, the dust is gold. Lama lanu ovrei drachim. Why should we allow people to pass through? She'ein bayin eleinu ela lechasreinu mimamonenu. They only come to make us lose our money. Bo'u neshakach toras regel b'yartzenu. Let's make sure there are no people who walk through on foot in our land. In the Mishnah and Avos, Chazal capture this attitude in exactly four words. Shali, shali, v'shalach, shalach. Yeshomrim zo midas sedom. What's mine is mine, what's yours is yours. What is at the root of this evil? The answer is, kochi v'otsem yadi asali esachayel azeh. It's all mine because I deserve it. I earned it. The people of Sodom looked at their wealth and refused to share in the bounty with others because they perceived it as theirs by some right. The reality is that it was given to them by the beneficence of the Ribbono Shel Olam, but they lost sight of that. We live in a world, both broadly and within the Frum community and especially the modern Orthodox community, of greater and greater economic inequality, where wealth spurs the pursuit of even greater and greater wealth. This is not new in history. Chazal derived from the Mishnah in Bikurim, it's a Gemara in the 8th parak of Baba Kama, the popular proverb, Basar Anya Azla Anyusa. We might translate this as the poor get poorer. That is not, God forbid, prescriptive, but descriptive. I am not qualified to consider the long-term economic consequences of this or to offer explanations of how we got here or what the remedy for the situation is. I also consider not for the moment that, historically speaking, things have not gone well for us, for the Jewish people, when large segments of our neighbors and the economic situation has declined precipitously. I speak only of the moral consequences of when the pursuit of material goods becomes the end-all and be-all of a society, and when the needs of those who struggle are neglected, and what that means for our community. And while this issue, as I said, affects the world more broadly, and we should be concerned about that as well, it has a profound impact on our community. Within the Frum community and within the modern Orthodox community, there's a broad economic spectrum. There are those with staggering amounts of wealth, but there are many, many who are struggling with the economic burden of being part of the Frum community. By way of example, and perhaps it is the primary issue, is the yeshiva day school tuition and supporting the institutions which provide our children with an education. I have little doubt that, collectively speaking, there exists enough money in our community to support all of our yeshivas. Just walk around many of our communities and observe, and I'm not addressing now the very real issue of tznius. Observe the edifices being erected, the cars that are driven, the clothing worn, the vacations taken. But for many, most of whom are not even pretending to live above their means, the burden is crushing, because the funding model of our yeshivot is the user-pay-as-you-go model. On a practical level, this entails enormous suffering for individual families and threatens the continuity of our community. But on a moral level, it represents midas sedom. Shali shali v'shalach shalach. I paid for my children, and I don't have to help you with your children. The root of this attitude, again, is kochi v'otzem yadi asalei asachayel azeh. I have what I have because I earned it with my hard work. Shali shali v'shalach shalach. I have news for you, Rabosai. There are a lot of people who work just as hard but don't have the same success. The majority of our success can be predicted by circumstances beyond our own control, be it being born into wealth, connections, or just mazel. The greatest predictor of wealth appears to be what Chazal described in the Mishnah in Eidios, Ha'av zocha leben b'chamisha dvarim, b'noi b'koach b'chochma uva'osher uva'shanim. But I speak here not only to those who were born on third base and think that they hit a triple, but many of us have worked very hard and have been successful. But for so many, the very same hard work has not been enough. Incidentally, the same holds true for a host of other areas. If you are a great Talmud Chacham, you need to realize that with all the hard work you have invested, there is usually a great deal of intelligence that you were born with and have actualized, and were fortunate enough to have role models who have inspired you. Without those gifts from the Ribbono Shel Olam, you would never have gotten to where you have, no matter how hard you worked. It's not kochacha ve'otzem yadcha. We are warned by Yirmiyahu HaNavi. We read it in the Haftorah of Tisha B'Av. Al yisalel chacham b'chachmaso, v'al yisalel hagibar b'gvuraso, v'al yisalel ashir b'ashro. Let the wise person not be prideful in his knowledge. It wasn't just his hard work. Without other factors, he would never have achieved it. Let the wealthy person not be prideful in his wealth. It wasn't just his hard work. It's not just his doing. This point, I think, is captured beautifully by the words of the Torah at the beginning of Hilchos Tzedakah. And I should note that the laws of Tzedakah are found in Yoredeya, not in Choshen Mishpat, to tell us that this is Isser Beheter, not merely Dine Mamonos. The Torah writes, V'al yale b'libo eitzalomar eich echsar mi mamoni, He shouldn't think in his heart, how can I possibly reduce the amount of money I have? Litno lanim, to give it to the poor. Why? Ki yesh lo lada shein amom anshalo. The money doesn't belong to him. Ela pikadon lasos bo ritzon hamafkid. The money belongs to the Eibishter. And he gave it to you as a pikadon to do what he wants you to do with it. Vizeritzono, and this is his will, sheyachalek la'aniyim imenu, that you distribute a portion to the poor. The money doesn't belong to us. It's simply a pikadon entrusted to do as its true owner has bidden. I would add, because kochenu v'otzem yodenu lo asalanu asachaya lazeh. Or in the words of Chagai Hanavi, li ha-kesef v'li ha-zahav n'um Adonai Tzvaos. When one enters this space medrash, and many others like it in other institutions, one is greeted by plaques honoring the magnanimity of the donors. If I had my druthers, I would like to place one pasuk front and center in the display on that wall. There's a well-known minhag of the Arizal to deposit tzedakah into the pushka during the recitation of Vayivarech David. Why? Because David's blessing, his bracha, was his emotionally overwhelmed response to the generously overflowing donations of the Jewish people to build the Beis HaMikdash. In the part that we actually recite from Divrei HaYamim, we say, V'ha'osher v'ha'kavod milafanecha, which expresses the generic notion of the wealth, of wealth coming from the Ribono Shel Olam. But I have often lamented that we cut the passage short, and that is because there is a confessional, very personal verse, which appears, which is the antidote of Kochi ve'otzem yadi, of the Midas Sedom of Shalish Eli v'shalach shalach. And that's the verse, that's the pasuk I want to put on the wall. It reads, Ki mimecha hakol umiyadcha nasanu lach. Because everything comes from you, and from your hand we have given to you. When we give tzedakah, it is as if we have kivayachol taken money from a Kaddish Baruch Hu's right pocket and put it into his left pocket. In this vein, the Rashba in a tshuva claims that there is no bracha on the Machtzis HaShekel, which is the baseline of tzedakah, as Chazal formulated, to remind us that the money doesn't belong to us. And so I return to my original question. What was Yitzchak Avinu's position? Why was he reluctant to give the material blessings to Yaakov? Perhaps he was reluctant to grant them to Yaakov because he was afraid it would lead to kochi ve'otzem yadi, asali esachay alazeh, which would interfere and undermine with the true mission of Yitan Lachas Birkas Avraham, Lecha Ulazaracha Itach. As history would have it, Rivka won. Yitzchak neither withdrew his blessings, witness his response, Gam Baruch Yiyeh, nor did he admonish Yaakov for what he did. But the blessing of material wealth can be a mixed blessing. The Gemara in Tainis describing Choni Hamagol, when he was asked to pray that the deluge of rain cease because it was too much, he said, Ribono Shel Olam, Amcha Yisrael Shotzeisa Mimitzrayim, Einam Yecholim Lo Berov Tova V'lo Berov Peranus. Klal Yisrael can't have too much good nor too much bad. Ka'asto Aleim Einam Yecholim Lamod. If you get angry at them, they can't survive. Hishpata Aleim Tova. If you shower them with wealth, with goodness, Einam Yecholim Lamod. They also can't stand. Too much material success can lead to the avodah zarah of kochi ve'otzem yadi asali esachay alazeh. And thus, we would do well to regularly remind ourselves of the words of the Torah, that our acquired possessions and other talents, I would add, don't really belong to us. They're not a credit to us. They are a pikadon from the Ribono Shel Olam, and we have a job to do with them. But they're not fundamentally ours. They are not a product of our superiority over other people, but a conditional gift from the Ribono Shel Olam. We must never forget, Ki mimecha hakol umiyadcha nasanu lach.